the Lord saying, come unto me and come into my area, my home, my dwelling place, the holy places of God. I want you to get good at coming in. Because it is your home legally, by right, an inheritance. But too few of my people know how to make it a habit to just come and know that they are accepted in the Beloved. Part of what I died for is to make you able to come any time of day or night, to find what you need, whatever you need, in whatever way you need it. And mostly what you need is lots of truth. The world is full of lies and deception and worldly ways. So when you come into my presence, you come into some truth, and you stop believing what the world has told you, the fearful thing, the circumstance, how it's going to turn out. But in my presence, all fear is gone. In my presence, you know the word is true and the promises are right. Setting you free. I'm setting you free. I'm declaring freedom over you today. Freedom. I'm setting you free, he says. Some of you say, well, I am free. And it's true that I have done levels of freedom in you. It's true. But it's nothing compared to what I want to do, because the freer you become in my spirit, the more you understand about my ways, the more you will be able to walk like I did in the earth. Fears are being released. I saw them being tied like strings in your soul. You know, not your spirit, man, but in your soul. And I saw these little strings tying little fears to your thoughts, your thought processes, fears about little stuff, little worries, little anxieties. And I saw the Lord so gently just untying those strings and releasing you. As he said, the truth is, my word is true, my promises are true. And fear, the enemy likes to tie you to fear. And the reason is, fear is faith for the bad thing to happen, and it releases a power. Fear releases as much power as faith does, but in a negative way. The Lord says, I would not have you have faith for his stuff. Oh no. I would have you believe me, but it should be easy. In my presence, faith is easy. So I want to train you. He says, I want to train you to be experts in the presence. Experts in carrying the presence. Experts in making people to know the glory and to know truth. It will help them with gentleness. What does it say? His gentleness has made me great. My gentleness, says the Lord, mixed with my truth, will help many, many people as you carry it into the marketplace, into your homes, into your families, your children. Truth mixed with gentleness will heal many. So I'm inviting you in. Some of you come in regularly. Some of you have been just a few times. Some of you say, I don't know how. But I'm opening a window today, the Lord says. I'm opening a window in the Spirit. And I'm going to teach you how to first look through the window, then gaze through the window, then stick your head out through that window. I'm going to teach you until that becomes normal, and pretty soon you're just going to crawl through that window, and coming to my place will become what you do. Every born-again Christian, every born-again believer has the same facilities in them. I did not leave some out and select a few. Oh no. That would make me a respecter of persons. What I gave to all. Everyone has the facilities to fellowship with God in the holy place. And I want to teach you, he says, to let that become the normal place where you come to breathe fresh air. And you can get so good at it that you can be in the grocery store and just check in the middle of a conversation with somebody and check in. See, because I want to heal you, and in fact, I'm going to say it, I need to heal my people. I need my people healed on the inside so that they can walk in what I've called them to walk in. Primarily fellowship with me. For too long, my people have tried to do it for me, outside of me, and it cannot work. That's not my system. Darling, your flesh cannot do the things of God. Your flesh doesn't have that ability. Your spirit man does. I've put it all inside you, and so I need to teach you, and I need to unwrap. I see him as I'm saying this, unwrapping like a blanket from around some of you, a blanket that you've worn the whole of your life. For some, it's a blanket of protection against more pain, or being hurt again, or what people think. Or this is the way I've always done it. I see one person, you're very, I hate to say stodgy, but it's like, this is the way I've always done it. Darling, I love you, but that's not the best way. I have a better way. Will you give me your way for my way? Will you trade in your knowledge for mine? I promise I know more than you do. I promise that I know more than you about you. I know more than you about your life, your future, your past. I know more about how to heal you. I see him just beginning to unwrap and loosen these. It's not everybody, but just like almost like a little burrito, you know, wrapped in a wrap. And I see him just gently beginning to unwrap that off of people. And you know that on our part, you know that takes a level of trust. Because it means we're exposed wholly to God and wholly to man, doesn't it? But when we trust him, I remember the day when he showed me, I didn't even know I was wearing a mask. I had worn a mask for so long that it became who I was, because I actually thought I was that person. But the mask had been put there to protect me from pain. The mask had been put there to interact with people because I didn't know how. I didn't know how to interact with people. I was scared of people. I was very shy. And so because I did business with businessmen and presidents and vice presidents of companies, I had to put on a professional mask. And I wore it very well. I became an actress is what I did. And one day God gave me a dream and I began to realize I had this mask and it's not who I really was. And so I realized that's not the person God made me to be. Now, he's able to do all those things and more. But what God really wants to do is heal our inside and make it so whole that we're not ashamed to present that person to man, because we know we have nothing to offer them, but he has everything. You see the difference? It's a little scary at first because you're saying, okay, God, I trust you with another layer of my stuff. Some people hide in their smarts. There's some people that God has made very, very smart. And sometimes that becomes our protection. I'm smart. I'm good at this or that. That becomes our protection. And I'm not saying that's wrong. God, I'll be honest, God made me fairly smart in certain areas, not in other areas, but in one area I'm pretty smart. But that was God, and to hide in that or to use that as the protective layer would be to deny who I am in God. God is actually asking us to dare to believe that the person he created on the inside of you is perfect. Now, your flesh is not. Your outer man, in our flesh dwells no good thing. Our flesh doesn't have, it's fallen, our flesh fell, and it's a mess. God didn't redeem our stinky flesh. But what he did was recreate us as we would have been before the fall. Your recreated born-again spirit is holy. And so when we get into religion, we start to think that our holiness is based on our outward acts, and it becomes a kind of stinky, self-righteous thing, which actually smells bad to God. Come on. There's people in here with an inferiority complex, but God says there's a couple people in here with a superiority complex. And you think you have it, and you've judged people, you've monitored people, you've measured people by your standard, which you think is so great. And God says, if you were to see my standard, you would be crestfallen. Because when you stand before the Lord, you're not so hot. You have no business judging anybody. else, for what do you have that was not given to you? And so where is boasting then? And so the Father's, what he's trying to do is peel all the junk off. If we could see really who we are in the Spirit, we would see the real me, the real you. And that is the person that God has anointed. That is the person God has gifted. That is the person that God has called. And that is the person that does the real speaking by the Spirit. Let me tell you something. Holly Bailey has nothing to give, nothing to say, nothing to offer, and no skills or talents in the flesh, none. Not even the ability to stand in front of people and talk. Yet, the Spirit of God in me, I have watched him speak one word. I just watched it in Colorado. One word, and people came up afterwards and said, 20 years of stuff fell off of me with that one word. And about three people. You know why? It wasn't from Holly. It was a word from heaven transmitted through my born-again spirit out of my mouth. That's a process that any believer can do. I mean, and even I'll tell you the honest truth. When I gave the word, I thought that's kind of a weird word. I mean, it almost sounded like they're going to think I'm nuts, honestly. It was a two-part word. You know what it was? I saw two iron bars crossed in someone's soul. And I saw that they were caged in by those bars. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I see those being broken. Thinking that's a weird word, but I know him well enough by now to know he's right. So I just do it, even though I think it's, you know, they think maybe they'll think I'm weird. But deep down, I know he's right because I've been doing this a long time. And I've seen it again and again. The word after that, I said, I see someone, and I think this applies to someone here, carrying a lake of sorrow. And I saw Jesus with his fingers just take this little plug and pop it off, and this lake of sorrow drained out. Do you know that about three people, two people claimed the word with the iron bars, and those two plus another one said, I thought I was pretty well healed, but I wondered why I was having all these problems. And when you said that, this lake of sorrow, I felt it just drain out, you see. So what I'm trying to talk about is the process by which we're allowing God to live through us to help people. The gifts are always to help people, never to judge them, make them feel bad. You know, and sometimes God makes me speak a little bit of a corrective word. It's not my preference to do it, but he's actually doing it because he loves them and he's trying to help them come to the next level. You see? So even a corrective word is always to help them come closer, to edify them, lift them up, and help them come closer to him. Amen? And so what I discovered was if Holly can shut up and get out of the way, and listen and hear what is he saying, and word for word say exactly what he says, even if you don't get it, because most of the time you won't get it. You won't get it. You'll be like, what's the word? I don't know what that means. You know who knows what it means? The hearer. The hearer knows exactly what it means. And the reason we try to create an atmosphere of the presence is to bring people away from the worldly troubles and thoughts so that they can come to a place of rest and interact with God, and then he can do stuff in them, you see? And I'm telling the truth, anyone can do it. You will end up doing it according to your calling. If you're an evangelist, it'll take a different form. If you're a pastor, it will take yet another form. It will flow, the Holy Spirit in you will flow according to your giftings, but what I'm trying to say to you is that the process is the same. And so I watched Edgar. Edgar was the polar opposite of me, but he was blunt, he was bold, he was loud. But he would look across a restaurant and see someone. And he didn't hear God say it, but his eyes would lock on the person. It's like he couldn't look away, and he knew God's doing something with him. Pretty soon he would get up and leave the booth, and he would go over and he'd sit right by him. And he'd start talking to him, darling, God says this to you. And pretty soon they're crying. pretty soon they're either receiving the Lord or being healed. I watched him do it. And his calling was different than mine, but the Holy Ghost in him was the same. Now, he operated a little differently, saw and heard a little differently, which you will too. But as you come to be accustomed to the presence and then an expert in the presence, and that's actually a word that I believe God has given me, you can become, you want to master certain skills in the Spirit. We've taken away just, we've taken it like it's supposed to be about the goosebump. No. No, it's not supposed to be about the goosebump. The idea is to be forever changed in his presence, to carry it, to be his emissary to the world. Whether that's your own child or someone that calls you crying because their life is messed up, and instead of you giving them 20 pounds of advice, try to step back. I don't always get this right, but I've learned that the more that I can step back and say, what are you saying to this person? I'll watch him go to work with them, and it's like I get to sit there and watch him set them free. But if I get my big face in there and have my opinion and give them my advice, that might not help them all that much, you know? And so God is trying to raise up a people that are not just accustomed to his presence, but have an expertise in walking in it, carrying it, speaking it, moving in it. And there's the consistent way to do it is to tell your own opinion to shut up and sit down. Because we all have an opinion, especially if we've been walking with the Lord a long time. We know, by golly, we know what to do. But when I come before the Lord, I have no opinion. Because you don't know the secret of a man's heart. And people carry stuff that they don't talk about. You know, a lot of men walk around with woundings, but you know, when you're a strong person, you just handle it. You handle it, I'm fine, that was 40 years ago, forget it. Right? That's what a lot of people do. But guess what? It may still have a little hook. And that hook has stopped the fullness of everything God wants to do. And so that's why God sometimes just gently begins to unhook. I'm gonna teach a little bit today, but I'm actually pre-sharing something that just happened to us recently. We were in these meetings, and we were then in another set of meetings. We kind of went from meetings to meetings in Colorado. And there's a gentleman there that is actually a great man of God. He's very smart. He's a professional. He's just a brilliant man. And he was just standing in one of the services, and no one was even talking about this, but we had been talking about it at the retreat. But we're in this little service, and no one's even talking about this. And he said all of a sudden he just got a revelation that he had been believing a lie his whole life. And what had happened was he grew up in a family where he was always second best. His brother was more athletic, stronger, maybe smarter, whatever, and he was always kind of told that he just didn't measure up. Well, if you met him, you would never see that. He's a confident, bold, smart businessman. You'd never see it. But he had this hook in his soul all these years. And suddenly, in the presence of God, he just gets a revelation. I still believe that lie, that I don't measure up, I'm second best, and no matter what I do, I'm never going to measure up, and I'm always going to be second best. And he didn't say anything to anybody, he just said, I'm making a decision to come out of agreement with that lie. And he made a decision, and I'm telling you, that's where all the action is in the kingdom. When you make a choice, I'm not going to walk according to the world system or what my dad told me. God bless my dad. You know, I'm not going to walk according to the lies of the world. I'm going to walk according to what God has said about me. He makes a decision, and then he begins to proclaim, because he'd been having a lot of trouble in his business. He'd been struggling and couldn't figure out why. So he said, I'm not going to agree with that. I'm going to be the best salesman. I'm going to have the most contracts. And he said, we talked about 4 days later, and he said, it's already changed. I said, so you really don't even need to be praying with me. This is already a done deal. You've already dealt with this. You've already seen the lie, exchanged it for the truth, made your proclamations, and he's already seeing within a couple of days his business change. Come on, I'm telling you, we think the problem is, oh, well, my faith isn't enough, or this, and it could be that. It could be a million things, but only God knows. And why carry it for the rest of your life? Why not deal with it? Why not? See, that's why we make ourselves bare before God. And it's a good way to live. I live open before God. If I've got a problem, I want to know it. If I'm believing a lie, I am always telling him, you poke me. You tell me. I'm not embarrassed or ashamed. I get it. I get how the world system works. They will lie to you. And even well-meaning people will tell you things. Oh, that, you know, they better not do that. Oh, you better not go that way. You know, my Aunt Helen did that. She died. You know. Well, now what? There's this little seed in your head. You laugh, but there's a little seed. And when you try to make a choice, Satan says, well, yeah, but you remember that guy that said his Aunt Helen died. I'm telling you, that's how Satan works. It's a seed. And they're small, so you discount it. Oh, that's just small. But guess what? If your mind has made a choice to fear, I'm telling you how your mind works. And I'm telling you that if you walk in those choices, you're hindering your spirit man from being all it can be without even knowing it. We are kind of our own worst enemy because we've walked in some stuff that's not true. And God is not mad. He loves you. Listen, God has blessings and blessings and blessings for you. I'm learning how to draw. I'm actually taking a drawing class because I want to draw the way that I see. You know, because it's hard to always describe in words. But what I see is this vast area of every blessing you can imagine that Jesus died for us to have. And a series of doors. And a guy's trying to go through the door, but he's got all this pride on him, and the pride makes him too wide for the door. So he can't go through that door. You know, somebody who's believed a lie, and they think they're not good enough, and so they're condemned or whatever. They can't go through the next door. And then we say, well, God must not have wanted it for me. But it's not true. God, Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. He died to heal the whole world, save the whole world, release blessings to the whole world. And then he said, whosoever will. And in some ways we might say whosoever can, but it's a series of choices. And I'm telling you, if you don't know that you've believed a lie, I lived in depression 8 years because you know what depression is? It's believing lies. Depression is because we have believed a whole pack of lies. And the way you walk out of depression is you say, I'm not going to believe that anymore. The word says this. Devil, take that and stick it in your pipe and smoke it. And then when you start to say those things, you'll start to walk out of sadness and depression and sorrow. I'm telling you, you've believed a lie if you're in that. And I know because I did it for years. And you know what some of the lies were? It's never going to get any better than this. You're just a flop. Give up. You're never going to make it. Liar. If I'm never going to make it, devil, why are you trying so hard to convince me? Why do you stand over my bed every morning and say this thing when I'm half awake? About what a fool, you're just a flop. Oh, you're condemned. Well, you must be nervous. Come on, look at the truth. What does the word say? I'm telling you, God is trying to expose the truth of God's word. That he has given us unimaginable, unlimited blessings and favor, but we haven't figured out how to walk in it because we're still operating too much according to what the world has ingrained in us. We need to be deprogrammed to be reprogrammed. So it's a series of choices where we, A, recognize the lies we have believed. You'll never make it. Yes, I will. Not because I have any ability in my flesh, but because God doesn't make junk. Come on. God doesn't make second best. There is no second best in the kingdom. And if you have believed that you're second best or eighth best or the lowest on the rung, you have believed a lie. And you may have believed it because some people in your family or your life told you that. Maybe well-meaning and maybe not well-meaning. But God wants to help you say, you know what, I'm coming out of agreement with that pack of lies. I'm going to come into agreement with the truth of God's word. God doesn't make junk. In my flesh dwells no good thing. I admit that. I admit that I'm not perfect, and yet in me is housed a king. In me is housed a package from heaven. In me there is an anointing that is going somewhere to happen. So devil, you might as well shut up and sit down. And I know that I can't even do that right, but it's by his grace. It's all by his grace that he's going to allow this thing he put in me to come forth. Some of you have stuff in you, and it's so wrapped up in bondage that God can't get it to come out. Oh boy, that was a bold statement. So I'm going to shift. I want to teach a little bit, and I feel like God gave me some things to share. And it has to do with us becoming who we really are. You know, you have a true identity, and we have this false identity. The false identity might be, I'm smart, or I'm gifted with my hands. That's okay. That's good. God has given you those gifts. But in you, there lives a person that God has recreated. You weren't just forgiven. Remember, you are a new creation. And you say, well, I don't feel new. You know, when I got saved, I didn't lose a whole bunch of weight. My thinking didn't instantly change. That pain in my heart didn't go away. Sometimes you get free right away. Sometimes you go on, right? So what's going on there? Your outer man, your flesh, what does it say? We have this treasure in an earthen vessel. God remembers our frame that we are dust. We were made from soil. After the fall, our flesh really stinks, right? We don't always think right. We have the mind of Christ in us, it says. But we don't only have the mind of Christ, do we? Because if all we had was the mind of Christ, why would we ever think a bad thought? Why would we ever get angry at somebody or judge somebody? So there's two things, isn't there? Paul talked about it in Romans 7. The thing I want to do, I don't do. The thing I don't want to do, that's what I do. Wretched man that I am. Why does it sound like there's two people in him? Because there's two people in him. One is Saul, the old stinker who ran around trying to murder people, persecute people, come against the people of God. But there's a new creation. Paul got renamed, a brand new guy whose purpose is to change the whole world. And he did. And you know what his key was? I'll give you the key. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In other words, I've learned how to put my body under, put my flesh under. Means say no, shut up, you don't have an opinion. You don't get to do what you want. Jesus in me, that's you and your born-again spirit and the Holy Spirit somehow all rolled into the one. Don't ask me, I'm not smart enough to figure it out. I just know that in you dwells a person that is coming forth, trying to come forth. And to me, don't wait till heaven. I believe most Christians wait until they go to heaven and go, oh, that's what I was supposed to be? That's who I was on. Are you kidding me? That's who I was on the inside? That person in you has the glory of God, the presence of God. You can see as God sees, hear as God hears, perceive people, love with his love. That's, I'm telling you, that's in your body. You know why I know? Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is in you. Everything you need is already in you. The gifts are in you. Somebody called me and we were doing a one-on-one and they said, well, can you, you know, I'd already given her like 40 words from the Lord and she said, now I know this isn't the psychic hotline, but can you tell me what my gifts are? I said, no, and I'm not going to ask. And here's the, we have a song we made up called Put Another Quarter in the Jukebox. Tell me all the things I want to hear. Ooh, prophesy to me. Oh, prophesy to me. Tell me that I'm very great and I'll make history. I want to hear a word. Because that's how people look at prophetic people. Just get, you know, we had a guy come in here. I was out of town. He was mad that I was gone and somebody else was preaching. He got a word which was from the Lord and it made him mad because that wasn't the word he wanted to hear. How did we get on this? He goes out to the parking lot mad, comes back in and says, that wasn't the right word. Can I tell it? She's riding the lawnmower going, Lord, what was up with that? And he says, he wanted to hear, love me tender, but you gave him, you ain't nothing but a hound dog. How did we get there? So this lady says, well, I want to know what my gifts are. I said, well, I'm not going to ask the Lord, and I'll tell you why. Everything's already in you. God has already put all this stuff in you. And the only way it's going to come out isn't going to be me prophesying to you. It's going to be as you spend time in the presence of the King, that flower that's in you begins to unfold. You running around trying to make it happen in your flesh, it's never going to happen. Never. Because your flesh, and your flesh dwells no good thing. Your flesh doesn't have any ability to make it happen. But as you spend time in the presence of the King and in His Word, things begin to change. You know why reading the Word is important? Because you come along and you go, ooh, I don't think I'm doing that right. And there's a tiny little choice that happens where you go, you know what, I'm going to do that better. You may not even do it consciously, but guess what? In that realm, in that tiny little area, you just shut the door to the devil and open the door to God. That's what happens when you're reading the Word. You know what else can happen? You read something, you go, well, that doesn't mean me. Blow by it. Well, that door just stayed closed, didn't it? That's what's really happening in the process of God, is a million truths versus lies and decisions every minute of every day. And the more you seek, why does it say He desires for us to have truth in the inmost parts? Because it's not the truth in your head that sets you free. It's the truth in your guts. When you make the quality decision, I'm not walking that way anymore. I'm not going to believe that lie anymore. That's not who I am anymore. Who I was before I got saved, that's not who I am. Get over yourself, devil. You can go babble to somebody else. I am not listening to that lie anymore. And what happens is He loses His grip. And now you, the real you, gets a chance to come forth. And what is the real you? It's heaven on earth. If I was to pass away right now and my body would faint to the floor and you'd come up and say, oh, her heart has stopped, my spirit man, as it is, would go, phew. You know, it's not that my body would be changed. My spirit man would step over. That's why He says He's able to make us stand faultless before the throne. Because there's a scripture that says that your inner man, it says, put on the new self, which is created after the image of His holiness. Okay? So in you there dwells a spirit man that looks like Jesus. And that's where the action is. So for me to say, do better, do this, don't do that, you crumb bum, you're doing this wrong, that's not going to help you, because your flesh is going to try to do it and fail, condemn yourself. Come on. Isn't that what we did for years? We said, oh, I'm supposed to be better than this. Okay, I'm not supposed to have that thought. I'm not going to have that thought. That's just a cycle of trouble, isn't it? We've tried, we fail, and we go to God, oh God, I'm such a mess. God says, I'm glad you came. I can set you free. See, it's all about how we think. It's really, the action is in how we think. So, hallelujah. So I just want to say, you are not who people say you are. And you may have had people say good or bad things. I was very blessed. I had parents who told me that I could do anything, and I actually believed them. But that can have its own trouble later. But many people I know were told terrible things, terrible, terrible things that you'll never be able. So you're not who people say you are, and you're not who the enemy says you are. And some of you have almost, for lack of a better word, almost a mantra that goes over and over in your head, where the enemy, it's not everybody, okay, but there's people in this room that over and over you're told, God's mad at you, or you're not forgiven, or you're just such a screw-up, you're never going to get rid, blah, blah, blah. This is one example. You're never going to get free, this is always going to be this way, blah, 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 blah. That's all he knows how to do. He's not, you know, that's all he knows how to do. He's not very original. But that's not who you are, and you can actually choose to come out of agreement with that lie and say, you know what, once and for all, that is a lie. You know why you entertain it is because you believe it. And you believe it, I get it, you believe it because it's probably what you were told, either by words or by some experience. I'm just going to go there. Some people accept their experience and turn it into doctrine. Come on. Some people pray for healing, feel like they're in faith, don't receive their healing right away, and then say, okay, so God doesn't heal everybody, and he didn't want to heal me. Instead of going to the Word and saying, what does the Word really say? And is it possible that I missed it? Is it possible that I didn't understand a piece? That's usually what happened. Things work and don't work for a reason. And I have one just awesome saint of God we were talking, and she has this long-term problem, and she's been crying out day and night, Jesus, free me, Jesus, free me, Jesus, free me. And he's like, I'm working on it. And as we prayed, I said, you know, that's there for a reason. See, she was praying about this symptom, which was a form of addiction. Oh, free me from this, free me from this, free me from this. And I said, she goes, you know, I think it might be the bloodline. And she's repeating all these doctrines she's heard people teach. Hallelujah, which are probably very good. What do I need to go to the courts of heaven? You know, she's heard great stuff, but that, what is that? That's a work of the flesh. Okay, brother so-and-so taught this, so I'm going to go do that. Oh, that didn't work. Okay, come on. I said, have you ever asked God point blank what the problem is? No. Not condemning you, but do you know that that's how people think? So I said, well, let's just ask him right now. And the minute I didn't even get the question asked, I started to say, Lord, what is the... He said, sorrow. And he said, exceeding great sorrow. And I said to her, I heard the word sorrow, and then I heard exceeding great sorrow. And she's like, yep, that's what it is. That's it. And she had toughened up, managed it, because isn't that what we do? We're good. How are you? Fine. We manage it, squelch it, handle it. I'm strong. I'm good, and everything's fine. I don't have sorrow anymore. That was 20 years ago and far away. I don't have a problem. But guess what? The sorrow in her soul somehow had a hook to this little addiction, because the pain was causing her to want to fill the pain with this addiction. Come on. And so what I'm saying is, we are like we are for a reason. And God, there's no condemnation in it, but why don't we fix it? So you're not who people say you are. You're not who the enemy says you are. You are who God says. So I made a little spreadsheet, and what I did was, if you take a scripture, it says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellency of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So if we really believe that, we might say, I am part of a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a purchased people. I am chosen and dearly loved by God. So that's the basis. I'm going to have you say a few of these, because I want your soul to hear your mouth saying these truths, okay? And as you say them, you might go, wait, I haven't really believed that, okay? So I'm going to have you say, and if, by the way, if you need the scriptures, you know, because I got all these from scriptures, you can email me and I will send it to you. I'm going to have you say, I am victorious through faith,
I am victorious through
faith. And I overcome the world.
I am part of a chosen
generation,
a royal priesthood,
a holy nation,
a purchased people.
I am chosen and dearly loved by God.
I have been established, anointed, and sealed by God.
I am a new creature in Christ.
I am an ambassador for Christ.
I am the righteousness of God in Christ.
And I just heard somebody go, do I dare to believe that, or will that offend God?
No, it will please him because it's his word. It will please him because it's his word.
I am a partaker of his divine nature
through his great and precious promises.
I have been given a spirit of power,
a spirit of love,
and a sound mind.
So we'll do a little bit more of those later. But that's the point. You can understand, you can see how some of those are like, yeah, that's me. And some are like, really?
But that is what the word has said about you and me, if you're born again. And I believe everyone in here is born again. So one of the things I see as I pray with people, sometimes I'll see somebody in an iron cage, and the door has been unlocked and opened, but the iron cage represents their thinking system, so they can't ever come out because it's, you know, they're not supposed to, or it's not okay. But God is saying, like wooing them, would you come out? And for different people, it's different things, but the idea is, we're not in a cage because God has put us there. It's our thinking and where we disagree with the Word of God. I was flipping channels, and I saw Joyce Meyer, and she was sitting with this couple. Some of you might have seen this. And they were talking about her book, which was about some kind of emotional healing for women. But the couple was there, and the husband had sneak peeked at the book. And he had gotten deeply free. And one of the things he said was, he said, well, when you're a man, you know, it was like a long time ago and you've moved 1,000 miles away, so it's not a problem anymore. He said, but when I read this, I began to see that there was some things I needed to change in the way that I saw things. In other words, you needed to come out of agreement with it. So I'm just saying that that's how we tend to be. I was in the corporate world for many years, and you have to have a face, you have to have a mask, you know. You have to go in every day, it doesn't matter what's going on in your home. You go in, you handle it, you go to a meeting with a smile. Do you always feel like it? No. You have to do it, and it can become who you think you are, but it's not who you really are. Oh, I already shared all that. Okay, some of you might have seen, there's a true story that they made into a movie. This is actually a true story. The movie was October Sky. Did everybody see October Sky? A few people. So it's actually a really, it's not only a true story, it's a really good parallel. They were in a coal mining town where the only hope for the young men is that they will grow up and be coal miners. They will die an early age from the lung problems. It's a pretty dark and awful job. But that's basically what's in it for you. And the only out is if you're so good at sports that you get a scholarship. So the show is about a family, and the dad's kind of a tough old coal miner. I think he runs the coal mine, pretty tough, and he's got two boys. The older boy is the young, strapping, strong football star who's getting a football scholarship, and he can do no wrong in the dad's eyes. And there's this younger son that's just an average kid, doesn't, you know, but the dad really disrespects him pretty openly. And he's pretty much told, you will be a coal miner, that is what you'll do, that is the only hope for you, there is nothing else. And the boy starts to hit his teen years, and he starts to be like, I don't want to be a coal miner, I'm not doing it. And so there starts to be this headbutting going on. He's treated like he's substandard, so he has got to feel like he's second best, can't do it. And one day, the whole town is out watching. This is back in, I think, the 50s, when Sputnik, the first satellite, crossed the sky, and he saw it, and something happened to him. And he was like, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going into aeronautics. So he makes this decision, and then the headbutting really starts. He starts studying and learning how to build rockets. He starts studying everything. He and his friends are shooting off these rockets out in the field. His dad... And I'm telling this story for a reason. His dad is somewhat unfair, abusive, and narrow-minded. But the boy, whose name is Homer, is really smart. So he learns how to do this, and his dad is fighting him every step of the way. It's like, yeah, you can have your fun, but you're going to end up in the coal mine. And he's thinking, I don't think so. At one point in his life, he actually gives up and starts working in the coal mine. And that's some of us, right? We don't get our dream. It doesn't seem like it's going to go. So we say, well, I guess I'll go work in the mine. And that's some of us, really, right? But eventually he remembers who he really is and starts going back to what he's called to do. And you probably know the story. He ended up working for NASA. He got a scholarship, actually got the offer of many scholarships, ended up being an engineer for NASA who trained astronauts. Now, the dad might have thought he was doing well. He might have meant well, thinking, I'm doing the best for my kid. He doesn't know, you know. But what I want to say is there anything about that son that feels like us, where we weren't maybe recognized for what we were called to do, or maybe what we were called to do was different? When I was a kid, I liked music and I liked math. And my parents, who were actually great parents, said, well, you don't want to major in music or math because then the only thing you can do is teach, and you don't want to teach. And I remember thinking, oh, I don't want to teach. Okay. So I went into business instead, went into computers instead. And years later, I'm teaching a music class, and I thought, I love to teach. Oh, my gosh. I thought I didn't like to teach. See, I believed what was told me. And yet here God had done this thing in me where I actually loved to teach. Go figure. And what I'm trying to say is there's this struggle that goes on in us for what we thought our identity was, or maybe the identity we accepted or allowed, and who we really are in God. And God's trying to at least let us say today, I'm going to trade it in. I'm going to trade in all this stuff I believed that maybe was substandard or maybe was earthly. You know, it might have even been like those with the superiority complex. Maybe we believe that I'm good because I'm smart, or I'm good because I'm religious or whatever. We take that whole package and we trade it in and say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to ask you to develop this new creation that's in me, this born again spirit. Teach me how to die to my flesh so that it's no longer I, but Christ who lives in me. And we might say Christ who lives through me, speaks through me, operates through me. Because when you really die to your outer man, there's something in that death process where you really don't care anymore. You care about God and you care about his people and you care about accomplishing his mission. But if somebody likes you or doesn't, you don't care. And you're not pretending that you don't care. You really don't care. And I can't tell you how freeing that is if you've lived under that thing of what people think. See, I used to live under what people thought, and oh, I think I made that guy mad, and oh, I think they're upset. And it was just that's such a stress. You know, somebody looks at you the wrong way and you're like, oh, I said the wrong thing, didn't I? Oh, man, they're mad at me. Oh, really? And now someone can come right up and say, you know, I just think you're such a jerk. Well, hallelujah. You know, in my flesh I kind of am, you know. But guess what? Jesus Christ has redeemed me and he's really good, you know. You don't care because it's not your problem anymore. It's not your problem to present a certain face at church. It's not your problem. It's not your problem. You are who God has made you to be. You're working it out. It's going to take some time. Hallelujah. We all have a flesh. It stinks. We all have a spirit. It's great. You know. I mean, so once you start to look at things that way and look at other people that way, somebody's mean and ugly, you go, hallelujah. You know, they just need a little deliverance. Hallelujah. You know, underneath, they're probably great. Right? If they're born again, they are great. So, So I forgot to say the main point of that. So number one was you're not who people say you are, but you're who God says you are. Number two was your lot in life is not determined by other people's box for you. And that's why I told the story about Homer Hickam. The third one is your flesh does not determine your ability or your accomplishment. God has continually challenged me for like 35 years to do stuff that I truly cannot do. And it's always started with me going, are you kidding me right now? You want me to what? Because he would always tell me to do something that I can't do on purpose. And the reason is he is going to train me how to do it by the Spirit. Because he can do all things. I can do all things through Christ. And the truth is, Christ can do all things through me if I get out of the way. So when God first told me to start leading worship, I was like, you're out of your mind, my friend. Couldn't sing, couldn't play, and certainly couldn't do both at the same time. Yet, by the grace of God, over time, he taught me how to do it. It wasn't even hard. And what he'll do is he'll challenge you to do something that's really, you think, I can't do that. Then he'll, if you work with him on it, he'll make you so good at it that people think you're an expert. And just about when you're comfortable doing it, say, okay, good, now we're going to do this other thing that you can't do. And this is a continual, at least with me, this has been a continual process until you're doing all kinds of different things that truly you didn't think you could, didn't think you would, maybe even didn't think you wanted to. But what happens is you begin to find, wait a minute, this is who I am, and this is actually the thing that makes me the most happy. It's not all the stuff I thought was going to make me happy. Walking in who he made me to be is actually a deep and fulfilling thing. And most of us don't know who we are, so we don't know what that looks like. I certainly didn't. Even as a believer, I thought I had visions of what it would be. I was wrong. I mean, I had visions that were right, and I, you know, you have a vision of a baby that's a ministry. Well, you can turn that into worldwide revival if you're like me. You know, worldwide revival. No, Holly, it's not that. It's something else. You know, you have these visions that are parables, and your flesh makes them. You know, you have a dream, and oh, you know. But what you find is as you grow in who you really are, you go, the more happy you become, because it's like, wait, this is what I was born to do. It could be the simplest thing, but I love doing it. So, hallelujah. So in our flesh, we said this, your flesh doesn't determine your abilities or accomplishments. And so as we try to make it happen in the flesh and fail, and I'll give you a shortcut for that, but at first we try to do it in the flesh, we fail, and then we go to God and say, I've tried everything I know. He says, okay, good, now I have your attention. Now let me show you how I can do it through you by my grace. Well, the shortcut is you don't have to spend all that time failing at it first. No matter what it is, just go straight to God and say, how are we doing this? I don't know how you do. Give me your grace. Okay, much faster. So you can actually accomplish much more, much faster in a much shorter period of time. Okay? If you learn about God's grace doing it through you. So living in you, we said this is God himself with his ability, the power of the Spirit. In other words, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is actually living and abiding in you. And the problem with the Holy Spirit, not the problem, but one of the things about him, is he won't knock you down and force you to go and do things that are outside your comfort zone. His personality type, he's very, very powerful and very sweet, but he waits for those who are hungry and thirsty. He will wait for you to say, Holy Ghost, what are we doing here? How does this work? What do you mean by that? He is waiting for those who will seek him. And the more you seek, the more he opens himself to you. The more you hang out with him and ask your questions, the more he reveals not just who he is, but who he is in you. And so it's a process, and I'm going to be brutally honest. There's saints beloved of God who are dedicated to God. They're wonderful people. But many of them that I meet have never really fellowshipped with the Holy Spirit and asked him the questions of their heart. They're doing like my one friend, where they're trying every latest doctrine and never once saying, what do you say about this? Why am I having that problem? Or what's the hold up here? Just ask with an honest heart, and I'm going to say it nice, but demand an answer. It won't be that second, maybe, that's okay. But if about 3 days goes by and he hasn't answered, I go back, ahem, it's me again. I want to know. I'm asking again. I know you're going to tell me, and he will tell you. And once he gets to know that you're just a person that won't be said no to, you will develop an open door, okay? There's an open door, and this is for every believer. It's just prophetic people. Everyone's prophetic. You just don't know it yet. It's for every person. You can develop a true open door where you say, what's going on this? What's going on? And you get to the point where you don't even have to say the sentence. You're just like, hey, oh, hey, oh. You know, it's just the way of the Spirit. That is the relationship. And if you read some of the older books, some of the saints of old who lived with the Holy Spirit, you'll find, you know, I'm amazed because their story is the same as my story. I'm like, oh my gosh, I met somebody here who's telling the same, using the same words, only maybe they word it better. Some of these older saints, Saint Teresa of Avila, she lived, she wrote books and books about the inner castle, about going to the inner place because God is in you. She spent her life with God. And I would recommend you look into some of those things because it teaches you how to hang out with the Holy Ghost, how to fellowship. Who do you know that knows everything? About everything. He knows everything about science. He knows everything about art. When I was in programming, he knew everything about programming. If I got stuck, what do I do with this? And he would just, oh, okay, that's what I do. You see, you have the mind of Christ. That's what it means. I think it's him. It says, how about this? You have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. Your carnal mind doesn't know all things, but you know somebody who knows everything, and he's living in you and waiting for you to ask. It's good stuff. So living in you is God himself, his ability, the power of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is within you. So learn to respect the kingdom of heaven in you. We have disrespected God in us by ignoring him and trying to fix it by running from man to man to man. That's not wrong. God will use people. Often when you ask the Holy Spirit, he'll use a person to give you the answer. But if you're running to people, he's like going, sure would be nice if you asked me. So the issue is that we haven't learned how to operate by the Spirit within us, and so we fail or succeed, hit or miss, and we don't really know why, but that's why. So we have belief systems, maybe I'm not good enough, maybe God is more pleased with so-and-so, maybe they have a special calling and I do not. And when I was young in the Lord, I actually had a false belief system that I now would call the haves. There's the haves and the have-nots, and I was grieved because I was a have-not. There were people who had these callings and these anointings, and they were healing people and winning souls. And I just felt like, well, I missed that bus. I'm just a second-class citizen in the second railroad car and not called to anything. I don't have any skills. And it was the one thing God wouldn't talk to me about. I would ask him and ask him, he wouldn't talk to me about it. But I finally saw it in the Word. It was a big, fat lie. What he did for all. And it's up to us how far we go into it. It is up to us how many limits we leave on ourselves or how much we press into him. Now, it'll look different for everybody. And the idea isn't to accomplish more than anybody else. The idea is to live in him and do whatever makes him happy. And I'm telling you, that's where the real peace is at. That's where the real happiness is at. Just to give you an idea about this, I had a friend. I'm not going to use her real name, so I'm going to call her Jane. But it's actually a lady I went to church with. And she would, but the world would have called her slow, okay? She didn't drive. She'd had trouble in school. She just wasn't at the same intellectual capacity. And so she was always told she was slow. Now, when I met her, she's actually older than me. But when I met her, she was probably in her late 50s, maybe 60. She came up to me, she said, Holly, I'm so tired of people telling me I'm slow. And I said out of my mouth, I said, well, you're not slow anymore. She said, what do you mean? And so I took her through the Word, and I showed her that she had the mind of Christ, same one I do, that God has said she's fearfully and wonderfully made, she's accepted. I mean, I took her the Scriptures. Well, here's the thing with her. She believed me. About 6 months later, she had her driver's license. She was working a job. She moved out from her parents' house. Now, what happened? She figured out the system. So, the fourth thing I want to say is that when it comes to your future, there really is an open heaven. I want to talk about this open heaven for a minute. Years ago, a man prophesied over me, and he said, there will always be an open heaven over you. I will never shut up my heavens to you. That's a nice word. That's wonderful. But here's what I now believe. I actually believe that when the veil of the temple was torn, when Jesus died, the veil was torn from top to bottom forever and permanently. It can never be shut. Heaven was open. And the Old Testament says, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. And in Acts 2, he did. When they were in the upper room, there was a noise as of a violent rushing wind. What do you think it was? The veil had been torn. The Holy Spirit was released. Heaven was rent. It is open. Period. The problem we have is in our soul, there's closed doors. So these lies we have believed serve as closed doors to all that God wants. So for me, you know, and I'll grant you, I was an analyst for a living, so I think I want to know what makes it work. If it doesn't work, I'm not doing it. And so even in the kingdom, I'm always looking at, now why did that work and why didn't that? What made that happen? Why did that fail? Why did that work? Why did that get healed that didn't get healed? So I'm always asked, not in a way of condemning or approving, but I want to know what makes it work. And what I found is there's a reason. So there is this open heaven that's been open to all. That means the most wretched guy on the planet, the worst murderer, rapist, bum, if he repented in his heart, could come to God and say, I am so sorry, would you forgive me? Boom, he's in the door. Okay, because Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. But guess what? It goes on. That guy could then go on and say, you know, I've heard about that Holy Ghost. I think I want him. Boom, he's got the Holy Ghost. He could say, you know, I want to come to a deeper level of commitment. Okay. God is never going to say no to a true heart. The problem is we'll go through three and go, I've got it. That's it. I've got it. I'm, you know. Some people will say, do you speak in tongues? Well, I received it 20 years ago at the altar, but basically don't use it because, you know why? They have not understood that it's the Holy Spirit speaking through you the truth of God into the earth. He's releasing his will in the earth because we don't know what to pray for as we ought. Hallelujah. So there is an open heaven all the time, but we can only walk through those doors to the extent we have opened the doors of our soul. Okay, that's why it's important to see what are the lies I believed. Look at the scripture and say, wait a minute, this doesn't line up. The devil told me this. The Lord's saying this. From this day, I am shutting the door on you, devil. I'm not going to believe that anymore. It says this here. I am choosing to believe God. Boom, the glory is released. You don't have to wait 4 years. The minute you make that decision, you have shut the door to the devil in that area. The problem with me was, I had hundreds of those areas. I mean, I can't tell you how many lies that I believed. Some small, some big. But they hindered me, and the more I got through it over time, the easier life became. The easier it became to win over the enemy. The easier it became to change things, help people, say the right thing. I'm not there yet. But it has been through a process of going, wait a minute. That's not true. That's true. I'm rejecting that lie. I'm coming out of agreement. I proclaim this over my life. Boom. So it will change your whole life. To the extent we've opened the doors to God, because all those closed doors are within us, and not in our born-again spirit, but in our soul, okay, which is our mind, will, and emotions. So what might a closed door look like? I was talking with somebody the other day, a very tough case. And this is one of those ladies that's been in the ministry, and she knows everything. Okay, she knows everything. And God was gently trying to say something to her, but her mind was going, well, that's not how it works. Okay. You know, you can wait and struggle. I said, so I didn't mean to be, you know, I try not to be too blunt. But we talked a while, and she was like, nope, this is the way it is. I've done this. I've put it at the feet of Jesus like he's going to fix it. I've put it at his feet. And I didn't mean to, but I said, how's that working for you? And I'm like, oops. She said, well, tell you the truth, it's not. So then we talked for a long time. It took an hour and 20 minutes for God to get past this idea she had in her mind. Stubbornness, right? She finally, by the end, goes, okay, I get it. You're saying he can't do something. I have to do something. That's what I'm saying. So she finally got it. But you see how the mind can fight you if you know it all, especially in one area. I know this. God told me this. This is the way it is. Well, what if he's trying to tell you some added part? You know, what if you knew half a truth? Come on. Or your will. Well, I know God's saying that, but... You know, Andrew Womack tells a story of a guy that says, I feel like God's telling me to come to Karis Bible College, but I got two dogs. And he said, kill them. The guy's like, oh, what? And Andrew says, look, I'm a dog lover, but he says, I would kill two dogs before I'd let them stop me from God's will for my life. I'm like, well, that's actually sound thinking, Andrew. A little rough, maybe, but... Yeah, but like if your will is saying, I know God wants this, but you're gonna sit there for years. How many years you want to sit there? And you know what will happen sooner or later? You go, I'm tired of living this way. God, what do you want me to do? Oh, yeah, you told me 20 years ago and I disobeyed. Okay, I'm going to do it now. Why don't you just do it now? It's easier. Okay, another idea is, wait a minute, where did we go here? Oh, mind, will, and emotions. Emotions, we have whole sets on how to deal with your emotions because God may be dealing with you, but your emotions are so busy flailing. I was saying at my house, don't flail. No flailing. I took, Edgar and I went to Florida, and Lori was helping us, and so she'd been helping us and working really hard, so I said, do you want to go? And so she comes, and we're going to go to the Keys, and I said, yeah, you need to try snorkeling, so we're going to go snorkeling. Now, she'd never been snorkeling, and I said, now, don't flail. No matter what you see, if it's a big scary fish, if it's a shark, if it's a jellyfish, just don't, just be still and kind of float back to the boat. Don't flail. And I look over, and the jellyfish were going, bzz, bzz, you know, just like in SpongeBob, she's surrounded by these jellyfish. Bzz, 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 bzz. It was pretty hilarious. Sorry. So, anyway, that's a saying in our house. Don't flail. Oh, how do we go there? Anyway, so we have to, if you need help with your emotions, if you're being ruled by your emotions, we have some stuff over on the table that will help you. So here's some lies that I used to believe. I don't believe that God would really use me. Big fat lie. I know that God heals, but I don't think he's happy with me. Here's a lie. It takes a special calling. Well, you have a special calling if you're born again. You might be one of those people. I was always the second best. I was always the last one to get picked for every team. I never had as much talent as the others. Well, good, because talent is what you're not going to be what you use in the kingdom. It's by the Spirit. You know, not by might. Not by power, but by the Spirit. And the problem is most people don't really know what that means. So that's why we do this. Okay, so what we believe and what we come in agreement with and what we proclaim is how we will live and the extent to which we will fulfill our call. Okay? So let's just do, I'm done, but I want to give you a couple of more things to say over yourself. These are from the Scriptures. I'm going to have you say, I am delivered from the power of darkness. And translated into God's kingdom. I am strengthened with all might. According to his glorious power. I have been qualified to share in his inheritance. I have been redeemed and forgiven of all my sins. The debt against me has been canceled. Christ himself is in me. I have been made complete in Christ. I am chosen and dearly loved. I am the head and not the tail. I am above only and not beneath. I am faithful. I am blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. I was chosen before the creation of the world. I am holy and blameless. I am adopted as his child. I have redemption. I have a purpose. I am seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. I am God's workmanship. I have open access to the Father. I am a holy temple. I am the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. I may approach God with boldness, freedom, and confidence. I am never alone. Jesus is always with me. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. So, yes, ma'am. I do. Yeah. If anybody wants those, you can email me and I will send you my spreadsheet. And what it has, just so you know, it has the scripture I'm referring to. Whoops. And then it has the confession. And then it has the write out of the scripture I took it from. Okay. And actually, there's hundreds of them, but it's too much for one day. But you can kind of get the idea as you say it, like, oh yeah, that's who I am, or oh, my mind hasn't embraced that fully. Amen. So how.